Dear friends, I'm very pleased to be here with you all again this evening. I recall mentioning last week, Thursday evening, that I was not all here because the other half of me had departed for Jamaica. Well, this evening I am faced with two other problems. One is this, the postal department doesn't seem to be operating at peak efficiency. That bugs me. Another problem is, it seems as if you have some little bugs around St. Louis that attack all visitors, and one has lodged right here in my throat. But I'm hoping that I'll be able to tell you all that the Lord has laid in my heart at the meeting tonight. I understand that a visitor went to one of our assemblies and enjoyed the service very much, but after the meeting he was asking one of the brethren a number of questions. One of the questions was, what's the meaning of the preacher taking his watch off and putting it on the reading desk? What does that mean? This dear brother says, that? Oh, that doesn't mean a thing. I find myself doing it. And I promise you it will mean something tonight. Because if I manage to carry through to closing time, I believe it will just be the help of the Lord. Now, there is an exercise in my heart to share with you one or two things from a short passage in John's Gospel, chapter 20. Following the meditation of God's Word, we're going to look at a few pictures and tell you about the work. And in the closing section of the service, we would like to invite questions from the audience. So if you can think of any question you want to ask concerning Jamaica, we'd like you to feel perfectly free to do so as we come toward the closing section of the meeting. Now for our scripture reading, John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. Then the same day of evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Possibly you have observed that at the end of verse 19, and again in verse 21, our Lord Jesus Christ used these precious words to his disciples, peace be unto you. He detected that they were troubled. For fear of the Jews, they were locked away. And the Master ministered to their great need. by just saying to them, peace be unto you. Well, those disciples needed this ministry. And I believe that in the world today, the people of God need the very same ministry, because we are living in a world that is filled with anxiety and perplexity and all kinds of new and strange problems. If ever we needed the peace of God, it is now. A lot of God's people are worried about problems at home, difficulties in the business, problems confronting our nation, economic problems, racial problems, problems confronting the nations of the world. Some of God's people are very distressed about the war in Vietnam, the situation in the Middle East, recent conflict between India and Pakistan, communist Russia, Red China, and all over the world. It seems as if there has been in recent years a multiplication of difficulties. But we thank God that the saints of God can still hear from the lips of the Son of God, peace be unto you. The Lord says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. A few weeks ago, we were over in Los Angeles, and on the street where we were staying, the missionary home just behind one of the chapels, there was a major intersection just a couple hundred yards down that street, and a four-way stop sign. Well, on one of these stop signs, I observed two words instead of one. The regular S-T-O-P, and then someone had the bright idea of using a small paintbrush and putting a three-letter word on the stop. W-A-R. That's what the world is asking for today. Is that right? All over the world, in the hearts of people, there is a real desire that we should stop war. We want peace. And there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. They are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest. But we thank God that the people of God can and should enjoy the peace of God. So are you able to sleep? When you go to bed tonight and put your head in the pillow, can you rest in the Lord and relax and enjoy a good night's sleep? A lot of Christians can't do it. They need the aid of tranquilizers, and they are disturbed and distressed, and the problems come thick and fast. But you know, the Lord would say to us, don't worry, everything is going to be all right. I heard a preacher say, even when Satan is in the saddle, God is on the throne, and all will be well. And the hope of the child of God is that Jesus Christ our Lord, the one who gives pardon through the shedding of his precious blood on Calvary's cross, the one who imparts peace, he is the Prince of Peace, and he's coming back again. And when he returns, he will make all wrongs right. Dear Mr. Nixon may be trying his best, but he'll never succeed in solving the problems of the world. Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the answer to the heart's greatest need. And may God grant that we'll look to him, rest in Him, trust in Him, and receive from Him His peace in abundant measure. I was talking to a dear lady last week Thursday night after the meeting. Just outside the front door, I was enjoying a conversation with her. She was telling me some of the difficulties with which she is faced. And she used a sentence that has stuck in my mind. She said, God has given me perfect peace in the whole matter. And I said, I rejoice with you. Thank God for that. He has given her perfect peace. I reminded her of a hymn that we sing sometimes. The first line of every verse is a question. And the second line gives the answer. The first verse asks, peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. Then there's a question mark. Is that possible? The answer is this. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, death shadowing us and ours? The answer is, Jesus has vanquished death and all its power. Thank God we can have that peace. With loved ones far away, in Jesus' keeping we are safe and they. No matter what the difficulty, no matter what situation confronts you, my prayer to God tonight is that the peace of God will be yours. Now the Lord was about to commission these disciples in these priceless words, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. But before sending them out, before commissioning them, he knew that they needed his peace. And so he ministered to them accordingly. He realized that they also needed his power. And so he said to them in verse 22, when he had said this, when he had given them the great commission, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And that's where we get the power for service. Have you ever felt in your own heart a lack of power? Power to witness boldly, faithfully, fearlessly for our blessed Lord. Power to do His bidding and to fulfill the commission. Have you ever experienced a lack of power? I know it has been my experience. And possibly many of you have had similar experiences. Hearing the commission of the Lord. Possibly enjoying His pardon and His peace, but lacking in power. Well, if there is any lack in this direction, may He do for you what He did for these disciples. He breathed on them. And He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. There is a lot of error surrounding this particular subject. We had some dear Pentecostal friends, and unfortunately there is not full agreement with us on this particular doctrine. And if you listen to your radio, the many religious broadcasts that are being aired today, and if you visit some of the great denominations and some of the churches around St. Louis, you will hear all kinds of conflicting views concerning the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. But you know, the Bible has a lot to say on that subject. And God would have us to be intelligently informed on His gracious ministry. And if anyone were to ask me, what is the greatest need of the church today? Unhesitatingly, I would reply that the people of God be filled with the Spirit of God. The baptism of the Spirit is an accomplished fact. If you are saved in your soul, if you know Christ as your Savior, according to the teaching of the Word of God, we are all of us who have been brought into the family of God, cleansed by the blood of Christ,
We've all been baptized by one Spirit into one body, so we are members one of another. The baptism of the Spirit is an accomplished fact.
But the filling of the Spirit
is that which is needed amongst the saints of God.
And the fact that I may have been filled with the Spirit last year, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, doesn't say I don't need it now.
There's a great need in the Church of Jesus Christ for this particular benefit and blessing.
Oh, may God grant
that we will have this particular blessing from the hand of our blessed, risen, glorified Lord.
He breathed on them, said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Sir Henry Drummond is a gentleman who was preaching the gospel one night, and a young man came to him and said after the meeting, "Sir Henry, how much will it cost me to become a Christian?" Sir Henry Drummond says, "Well, it won't cost you anything. It's free."
He says, "The initial down payment is absolutely nothing."
And the young man smiled.
But Sir Henry continued, "The annual subscription is everything.
Get a hold of it.
The initial down payment is absolutely nothing, but the annual subscription is everything. And if I'm to get the best that God has for me,
I must be willing to pay the price.
I must be willing to give myself unreservedly to His righteous claims. Total abandonment to His will. Total commitment to Him. Body, soul, and spirit. That I might be filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the Spirit of God. Giving a glad response to the commission of Jesus Christ." What was His commission? "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." He sends all of us. All of us may not be sent to Jamaica, or to some far-flung corner of the world. But every believer is sent with a specific assignment. God has a particular task for you to accomplish for the glory of His name. And He sends you. So just as the Father sent me, God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And the mission that Jesus Christ came to do was accomplished on Calvary. When He said, "It is finished," mission was accomplished. Your mission is not yet accomplished. That's why you and I are still here. And He sends us. Where does He send us? He may send you across the street. He may send you to a neighbor, may send you to a relative, may send you to the hospital or to the jail. But He commissions you. He gives you a particular path to go back into the world out of which He has called you. The ecclesia is really a called out people. And the same world out of which He has called us is the same world into which He sends us. Why? Not that we might become worldly.
I was reading an article recently, and the author said that worldliness thrills, but it kills.
He said, it fascinates, but it assassinates.
So we have to guard against worldliness. Being conformed to this world. Being like the people of the world.
Don't let the world press you into its mold. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
So the Lord sends us. In going, we need His pardon. We need His peace. We need His power. That we might witness to this perishing world and seek to reach and win some for the glory of His name.
May we have much joy in serving the Lord. During the little while that is left for us here. And may there be a glad response in the hearts of God's people today as we hear His commission again. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. I trust that some of us will say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to go just where you send me. I'm willing to do whatever you tell me. I'm willing to speak the word that you give me. I'm willing to be what you want me to be. He commissions us. I was at a missionary meeting on the island of Jamaica, and the song leader announced that we would be singing, Jesus shall reign, we are here the song that his successive journeys run, his kingdom spread from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. And after we sang the first verse, he said, let's sing the first verse again. We thought, that's strange. Why does he want to sing it again? And he says to us, some of you are not going shore to shore with the gospel. You wouldn't even budge to go to a neighboring town or village. But let's sing door to door. Because shore to shore isn't too applicable here. But door to door. And see if we can get this message out to the people who need it. So we sang the first verse again. And I pray that there will be an exercise in our hearts to go where He sends us. Go as far as you can. And when you can't go any further than that, maybe you can help to send someone further along the line with this glorious, life-giving message. And it's the only hope of a perishing world that Jesus Christ our Lord is Savior, He is Lord, He is King. We thank God for those who love Him. And may God grant that the response of our hearts tonight will be, Lord, I'm willing, I'm ready, I belong to you, and I'll go wherever you send me, I'll do whatever you want me to do, I'll speak your word.